Chapter 19. After Nico finished his story, there was a long silence in the Trog's council chamber. Will stared at some faraway place as he absorbed what he had just heard. The Trog counselors frowned at one another, as if wondering who would be brave enough to speak first. Nico felt exposed and vulnerable. He had never planned to share what had happened to him after getting dragged to Tartarus. It was simply easier to bury it deep within his mind. And, in fact, there were parts of it he had forgotten, just as Nyx had warned him might happen. Maybe his mind had done that to keep himself safe, but as he recounted the story, it all came back in terrifying detail. Maybe that whole PTSD thing had a lot more merit than he'd previously accepted. He reached in his pocket. His trembling fingers touched the coin from Will. Usually this gave him a reprieve from his grief and pain, if only temporarily. But this time it wasn't enough. When the tears spilled and his body shook, Nico turned to Will and cried into his shoulder. Nico wasn't sure how long they stayed like that. He imagined Will would have held him for an eternity if that's what he'd needed. But after his initial burst of sorrow, Nico began to feel self-conscious, aware of the Trogs waiting around the table. He pulled away and wiped his face. Okay, he said. No more feeling sad. It is what it is. You're allowed to have feelings, Nico, said Will. He was doing that concern thing again, where he knit his eyebrows together. What you went through, that was a lot. I have to move past it if we're going to reach Bob. Screech Bling scratched at his powdered wig. So it is Nyx we have sensed. She has begun to stir. But why now? Howl Smith gave Nico a resentful glance. We just moved in. His Majesty clicked reproachfully at Howl Smith. It is not the son of Hades' fault. He has always helped us. Yes, agreed Shriek Vibes. And I'm sure he will help us now with answers, will he not? The Trogs all looked at Nico, their large amphibian eyes full of anxiety. Nico wanted to help, but he feared his suspicions weren't going to make them feel any better. You think it's all connected? Will guessed. Nyx starting to stir our quest to find Bob, because that's what all this is leading to, isn't it? You think she's imprisoned him somehow? My question is why? Nico studied the rough stone tabletop. I'm not sure you're going to like my answer. Please try, said Will. Nico took a deep breath. I think Nyx's whole purpose in life is to shape things into their purest possible form, personifications of a single negative emotion or feeling or state of being. Look at her children, for example. Keres, the god of violent death. Geras, the god of old age. Eris, the god of strife. Nemesis, god of retribution. Aklis, god of misery. Sounds like a real party, Will grumbled. And we met another one earlier. Epiels, god of nightmares. This isn't very comforting, Will said. Epiels said their mother had 10,000 kids? It is a lot, Nico said. There's actually a funny word for what they are. I'm ready, said Will. Give it to me. Caco demons. He shook his head. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. Caco demons aren't all bad, Nico continued. If we had time, I'd introduce you to Karen, who works for my father. Technically, all hellhounds are Nyx's children too, so that would make Mrs. O'Leary one. And I met Aklis in a dream once. Sweet Apollo, that had to be a terrible nightmare. Nico grimaced. Actually, she said she couldn't do anything to me because I was already so full of sorrow. Will frowned at that. So, thousands and thousands of Caco demons. I barely beat back Epiels with all the power I had. And we're not even in Tartarus yet if we have to wade through armies of Nyx's children. We may have to face some of them, Nico admitted. Or maybe we'll find some like Nemesis who want to help us. Will raised his eyebrows. None of this explains why Nyx is so interested in Bob, or in luring you to Tartarus.
Or threatening the troglodyte's new neighborhood,
said Howell Smith, eliciting a fresh round of screeches, clicks, and growls from the other council members. Nico thought about that horrible garden of darkness in Tartarus, that mansion made from insects. The idea of Nyx interfering with the Trog's newfound happiness broke his heart and made him angry. Nyx is obsessive, he said. I faced her only briefly, and she was downright offended by who I was. Right, said Will. That whole bit about escaping who you are. She's a primordial goddess of night and darkness. There's nothing she despises more than someone who leaves their darkness behind. She doesn't like beings who reject the form they were destined for. Will hit his forehead with his palm.
Oh, I get it now. Bob. Bob, who is a former Titan.
Nico nodded. A former Titan whose memories were washed away in the Lethe, and who now chooses to be someone different. So he's basically like evil catnip for Nyx. Nico wanted to laugh at that, technically. Will was spot on, but a terrible feeling came back to him. The third line of the prophecy ran through his mind. There leave something of equal value behind. If Nyx despised all that was light.
Nico?
Will put his hand on Nico's shoulder. Nico shook his head.
Sorry, it's still a lot to think about.
It was a small white lie, one amid a very real truth. But Nico couldn't vocalize his worst fear. If he broke down in tears again, he was afraid he might never be able to put himself back together.
So you think Mr. D was right?
Asked Will. The dreams, Bob's cries for help, it's all a trap to lure you back to Tartarus?
I don't know, said Nico. Though, if she wants me to reach Tartarus, why would she send Epiels to attack us?
Will brooded, which couldn't have been easy while wearing a foam cheese wedge hat.
Some sort of test?
Screech Bling clicked at Will.
Explain, son of Apollo. Trogs do not like tests, especially essay questions.
The other council members hissed in agreement.
Well, think of it this way, Will said. Nyx believes that everyone is destined to be one thing. Nico, like Bob, has defied that.
Epiels was trying to prove that Nico couldn't escape his nightmares.
He turned to Nico. That you couldn't even make it to Tartarus before giving into your darkness.
And he was almost right,
Nico said.
If you hadn't been there.
Will squeezed his hand.
I'll always be here, but if the tests get harder the deeper we go.
I hate that idea a lot.
You must face her, said Howell Smith,
in her fluffy parka with a stack of beanies on her head like multicolored pancakes. She didn't look like your typical government official. But she sat forward, her hands laced and fixed Nico with a stare of absolute authority. Suddenly, Nico understood why she'd been made leader of the council.
If you do not, she continued, Nyx will torment you and Bob the Titan forever. And any who care about you.
Nico understood her meaning. The Trogs were his friends. By moving them into the underworld to protect them, he'd unwittingly put them in the path of Hurricane Nyx. Nico made a fist.
I just don't understand why she cares so much about me. I'm one demigod.
Trogs don't have eyebrows, but Howell Smith arched the skin where her eyebrows would have been.
You are Nico D'Angelo.
The other Trogs murmured and nodded.
You show new ways through the dark, Clack Jones added. You see the Trogs, said Screech Bling. You see Bob the Titan.
Will smiled and squeezed his hand. Nyx hates what you represent.
Change.
Hal Smith nodded wisely.
Or at least the potential for it.
Nico was uncomfortable with the way they were looking at him, with trust and pride, like he was someone who deserved the spotlight. Being a son of Hades, he didn't do spotlights.
I'll fix this, he promised. I'll save Bob and convince Nyx to back off.
We will, corrected Will of the magnificent cheese hat. And hey, if Nyx wants your darkness so bad, you can just leave some of it with her. That wouldn't be so bad.
Nico knew he was joking, but the comment didn't sit well.
Ha ha, you're hilarious. Then it is settled, said Howell Smith. We troglodytes will guide you past Erebos to the far side of the underworld, where you may descend into Tartarus. We will do our best to keep you hidden from Hades and Nyx. Does the council agree?
All five troglodytes clicked in unison. Howell Smith beamed at Nico and Will.
Excellent. Now you should rest. At Mushroom Glow, Screech Bling and His Majesty will escort you through the pathways.
Mushroom Glow? Will asked. It's their dawn, Nico explained, when the mushrooms start glowing. And the pathways?
We do not travel out in the open, said Shriek Vibes. For our own protection, we have found hidden trails. To avoid the attention of Hades' minions, said His Majesty, and the ghosts.
Ghosts? This is the land of the dead, Will, said Nico. Not all souls make it across the River Styx or into my father's kingdom. Some get lost or turn aside for whatever reason. They wander around as ghosts.
They are usually not dangerous, said His Majesty, but they are often sad. It is hard to hear their wails. We want to help them, yet we cannot.
Will turned to Nico.
This isn't disturbing to you, all those lost souls?
Why would it be? It's just part of how things are. The underworld is my second home, Will. Will shivered.
I could never live here.
Nico bit back the urge to say, no one's asking you to. He took a deep breath and addressed Howell Smith.
We are thankful for your help, he said,
channeling his frustration with Will into gratitude toward the troglodytes.
I owe you many rare skinks for your troubles.
That sent the council into a new frenzy of excitement until Howell Smith was able to calm them down.
We help you because it is right, son of Hades, she said. Not because we expect tasty skinks. But we will not refuse tasty skinks, added Screech Bling.
He stood so quickly his tricorn almost fell off.
Now come, I will take you to our nap cove, where you may rest with our young ones.
Will smiled weakly. Nap time with baby troglodytes? Screech Bling nodded.
They will cherish the opportunity to share blankies with heroes.
The CEO led the way out of the council room, and Nico stayed in the rear, his thoughts simmering. He knew Will meant well. He'd never met anyone as kind and understanding of the world around him. But after less than a day in the underworld, the place was already exposing a part of Will that felt different, more judgmental. Sure, Nico often struggled with how other people saw him, and he'd certainly had to correct Will's perceptions before. But was it getting worse? Will didn't seem very open to appreciating either Nico's second home or the troglodytes. On the other hand, nothing in Nico's story about his time in Tartarus had made it sound good. Could he really blame Will for thinking everything in the underworld was bad after hearing all that? As they moved through the cavernous main area, it was Will's joke about Nyx taking some of Nico's darkness that bothered Nico the most. If only it were that easy. If only someone could just remove all the dark and scary and sad parts of him. But at the same time, they made up who Nico was. He wouldn't be Nico D'Angelo without his past. But did it make him less appealing to Will?
This was so confusing to think about.
Nico wished he wasn't so sad all the time, but he also didn't like the idea of giving it up. What was someone like him supposed to do? He was surprised then, as he and Will snuggled up on two bedrolls laid side by side in the Trog's nap cove. That sleep came to him quickly. Normally, when his mind was buzzing, he would be up for hours. But not this time. He was too exhausted, and his body desperately needed the rest.
He dreamed he waded knee-deep in a sea of shadows. Shapes floated within the darkness.
But what were they? They were small, barely coming up to his shins, and they scattered every time Nico took a step. Out of curiosity, he bent down and tried to touch one. A mouth lashed out, full of glowing, sharp teeth. Nico yanked his hand back, and the scene before him changed. He found himself standing before a long pit dug into the earth. Some sort of horrible-smelling liquid gurgled at the bottom. Nico pinched his nose. A blue shade began to form out of the noxious gases at the bottom of the pit. Nico knew what was happening, knew it was just a dream, but that didn't alleviate his sense of dread. The spirit took shape in front of him. Bianca wore her Hunter of Artemis outfit, a glistening silver parka, a bow strung across her shoulder, though she was still illuminated by a ghostly blue glow.
"Hello, brother," she said.
"You're not my sister," he said bitterly. "Nix, get out of my dreams."
"You must choose, Nico."
Her face was so lovely, so soft, so warm. "Gods, he miss her.
Can you tell Will the truth?"
she asked.
"The truth of who you are."
Nico refused to be a part of this. He turned and started walking away, but suddenly, Bianca was once again in front of him. "I really hate dream logic," he screamed.
"Choose," said Bianca.
"Message received." Bianca pulled an arrow from her quiver. "Choose, Nico.
Leave a message at the tone," he snarled.
"Beep." She knocked the arrow and drew it back. "It's a dream, Nix," he said. "You can't hurt me here." This time, the goddess's bone-chilling voice came out of Bianca's mouth.
"You sure about that, son of Hades?"
Bianca's arrow pierced Nico's sternum, and pain exploded through him. He couldn't breathe as he pitched backward. Then Bianca was standing over him, cackling as she fired another arrow point blank, then another, each of them setting Nico's body on fire.
"I'll be waiting for you,"
she cooed. Nico melted into darkness. He awoke in a rush. His hand clutched to his chest. His face was damp with sweat. A phantom pain throbbed in his sternum, so sharp that it took a while for his breathing to return to normal. He forced himself to endure it all quietly, since he didn't want to interrupt Will's snoozing next to him. The nap cove was completely empty. Just piles of bedrolls and blankets where the young trogs had been sleeping before. As carefully as he could, Nico rose and moved to the entrance so he could feel the cool air that moved through the entire underground system. He took a deep breath, trying to steady his nerves. He knew that demigod dreams are always worse than the underworld, but Nix had reached out from Tartarus and actually heard him. Would her powers increase as they got closer? He looked back at Will, still sleeping peacefully. At least, he hoped Will was free from nightmares. Nico resolved right then not to share his newest dream with Will. His boyfriend was a natural caretaker, which was why he was such a great healer. But in this case, what could Will do to help him? Maybe it was time for Nico to help Will for a change. So Nico stood by the entrance, bathed in the dim light from the torches outside, and watched Will sleep. When he finally crawled back into his own bedroll, he remained wide awake. He refused to let Nix get to him that easily.
"It was all because of Leo, wasn't it?"
Will said. Nico's mouth dropped open. "Wow, you knew?" Will brought a small piece of ambrosia to his lips and chewed on it. Even that much effort seemed to pain him.
"Not at the time," he said after swallowing. "But I know it now."
Nico turned to Gorgeira.
"Leo is our friend, but there was a time when we all thought he'd died." "But he had not?"
she asked, confused. Nico shook his head.
"We were so sure. We saw it happen. He literally exploded in midair." "It's complicated," said Will. "It involved a magical cure and an automaton dragon."
Gorgeira smiled.
"Such wonderful tales you both weave. Continue." "Well, Nico can sense when someone is dead," explained Will.
"Child of Hades," Nico added.
"Of course," said Gorgira. Will took a sip of nectar.
So, Nico had definitely felt Leo die.
But I also had this strange sense he wasn't completely gone. Nico frowned. Then a few days after Leo died, I got this magical scroll from him telling us he'd actually survived. He'd come up with this whole plan for cheating death, but he hadn't shared it with any of us ahead of time, which made me furious. I was so angry about him keeping me in the dark that I couldn't think about anything else. Nico looked directly in Will's blue eyes. Until you, that is.
I remember, said Will.
One night after dinner, Nico continued, Will took me into the forest outside camp, just marched me out there with no explanation. I thought he was angry with me. And an angry Will is a scary Will. Will laughed weakly.
It wasn't anger, I was just determined.
Gorgira sat forward.
Determined to do what?
Will's eyes went glassy again.
Once we were in the middle of the forest, I told Nico to start screaming.
Screaming? Gorgira's face twisted in confusion.
Whatever for?
To let the anger out, said Nico. I didn't want to do it at first. Not until he turned to the forest and screamed at a tree.
It was a very big tree, said Will. I was sure it could take it.
You scared that poor dryad half to death.
I didn't know she was there.
I've never seen a dryad run so fast in my life. They both fell into giggles, and Nico was glad to see Will's spirits rise, even temporarily. So I screamed too, Nico said. It felt silly the first time, but then I was full on yelling at the trees about how annoyed I was with Leo. Much later, when Leo returned and invited us to sock him, I think the punches he got from Nico were significantly less powerful than they could have been. Will smiled at his boyfriend.
All because you screamed at the trees.
Nico laughed.
Well, it did make me feel better.
And understood. No one had ever done something for me like that before. That's when I started looking at you differently. Will stared into the fire.
For me, it was that week in the infirmary.
Nico nodded. That's how I knew your moment came first.
I do not understand, said Gorgira. Right after Gaia's defeat, there were a lot of injured demigods, said Will. And one thing the Apollo cabin is responsible for is medical care and rehabilitation. We help other demigods recover, whether it's from cuts and broken bones or from injuries that have left them permanently disabled.
Will told me that he wished I could help out in the infirmary, so I did, said Nico. Will laughed, though it made him wince.
I remember turning around and seeing Nico asking Dakota where the antiseptic cleaner was. Dakota is... was, I mean. A child of Bacchus from Camp Jupiter.
Will smiled sadly.
He wasn't all that knowledgeable about the infirmary either, so I got to witness both of them running around the room, desperate to find something neither one knew how to find.
I tried, said Nico. That week was painful. I constantly felt lost.
But you never gave up, said Will. And I don't know, your dedication just felt so beautiful to me. That's all it took for me to see you differently.
Nico blushed. Wow, we are such softies. Will narrowed his eyes.
Wait, how did you know my moment came before yours?
Nico gave Will a mischievous smile. Because I caught you looking.
What?
Will said.
No, that's not possible.
It was the last day you needed help in the infirmary, he said. Before you sent me away, I was with Connor Stoll. And he nudged my shoulder and said you were staring at me. I thought I was going to turn around and find you glaring at me angrily because I'd done something wrong. But instead, you were sitting next to Chiron, who was chatting your ear off, and you were looking at me with this whole puppy dog eyes thing going on. A slight redness rose in Will's cheeks.
Oh, gods, I don't even remember that.
If you hadn't looked at me that way, well, later on, I don't think I would have had the courage to come out to you and tell you I wanted to go on a date.
Gorgeira clapped her hands together lightly. Nico noticed that her skin tone had changed from light blue to something closer to lavender.
Excuse me for my excitement, she said. I am so used to hearing stories of isolation that I am overjoyed at hearing one of connection.
Apparently, these stories weren't just giving Will some fortitude. They were affecting Gorgeira, too.
Can I tell you another?
Nico asked, surprising himself. Gorgeira placed her hands over her chest.
Please, it may be a long time before I see anyone else.
Will nodded in confirmation, and the son of Hades began again. I want to tell you how I asked Will on a date.
Chapter 20. Curled up in the Trog's nap cove, Will dreamed of Marin. He was 10 when the satyr had first appeared to him, and it was no different in his nightmare. Will held his mom's hand as the two of them entered Washington Square Park, passing under an enormous stone arch. There were street performers and buskers everywhere. A group of college students danced near the fountain to music, blaring from a set of speakers, while a skateboarder did a kickflip over 4 people lying on their backs on the asphalt path. Will wasn't sure what to look at. It seemed like this everywhere in New York, no matter how many times they'd been here before. And after nearly a week in Albany, Will welcomed the chaos of the city over the sleepy, overcast vibes upstate. He knew how this dream would unfold. Will would point out to his mom how many pigeons there were crowded around the fountain. She'd say that no other U.S. city had more of them than New York. Then one of the pigeons would land a little too close for Will's comfort, and he would shy away from it, only for more of them to flutter over, until he and his mom were surrounded. Will had had variations of this dream before, but this felt too real, as if he were reliving the memory itself rather than seeing it through the magic of a dream. When the first pigeon pecked at his foot, its beak was sharp. When his mom expressed concern that these pigeons were too aggressive, he could feel the fear in her voice. And when the swarm hit, he couldn't breathe. It's a dream, Will, he told himself. You're a demigod. You have these all the time. But he couldn't control this one. His memory of the Stymphalian bird attack was dialed up to 11, his mom's screams all the more piercing, her hair unkempt and wild as she threw her arms around him, trying to protect him. Marin arrived from out of nowhere, just as he had in real life, leaping in front of Naomi and Will Solace and opening an enormous black umbrella to repel the birds. He wore obnoxiously neon green pants with pink suspenders over a white t-shirt. As the birds rained down on the umbrella, Will felt again the terror of being shrouded in darkness, his mother screaming, unsure whether they were going to survive. In real life, they had escaped with Marin's help to their East Village hotel, where the satyr had told Will the truth about his heritage. Marin was the one who had brought Will to Camp Half-Blood. But that didn't happen in the nightmare. Under the umbrella, what was once a heroic moment took a dark turn when Will looked up into Marin's eyes and saw that they were blood red.
"He will leave you,"
Marin said, his voice deep and frightening. "When the time comes, he will choose to leave you behind."
Marin laughed as the Stymphalian birds pelted the umbrella, pushing it closer to the ground. Will and his mom crouched down as she held Will tighter.
"I love you," she said. "I love you too, Mom."
Then her face contorted. She sneered, her glowing red eyes boring into him. "He's going to leave you behind, you fool." Will woke in a panic. When he saw Nico's bedroll empty, he worried that he had been left behind, just like in his nightmare. But then he sat up and saw the silhouette of his boyfriend appear in the doorway. Relief rushed through him.
"Nico," he said,
"where'd you go?" Nico walked over and handed him a strange bronze cup that was warm to the touch. Drink up.
Will balked. This isn't more of that shoelace soup, is it?
Nico chuckled. No, just broth. Will reluctantly brought it to his lips. He let a small bit of it touch his tongue, and a burst of savory goodness filled his mouth. He finished it off in less than a minute while Nico watched, a look of satisfaction on his face.
Okay, that was good, Will admitted, wiping his mouth. But please don't tell me this is a broth of troglodyte armpit. I feel like you're going to.
He meant it as a joke, but Nico looked irritated.
It's not, said Nico. Troglodytes do eat a lot of stuff that humans do.
His tone sounded almost accusatory, as if Will should love stewed shoelaces and armpit broth.
Ever since they'd passed through the door of Orpheus, Will had felt like he was walking on thin ice with Nico. Will always seemed to be doing and saying the wrong thing, even if he was just trying to lighten the mood. Even that term, lighten the mood, seemed like a biased statement here in the underworld. But Will wasn't sure what else to do, how to act. He lay back down, images from the nightmare swirling in his head. He didn't feel rested. Here it was always night, so his circadian rhythms were off. Then there was the warning from his dream.
He's going to leave you behind, you fool.
How much worse would all this get once they entered Tartarus? Nico sat next to him.
You're worried.
Bad dreams,
Will muttered, which was a half-truth at best. There was so much else that worried him.
Me too.
Nico lay beside him, and Will was grateful for his boyfriend's head on his shoulder. If only they could stay like this and not think about what came next.
We should reach Tartarus today, Nico said, shattering that hope.
Screech Bling was just telling me they found a shortcut. Will glanced over.
A shortcut?
One that won't require us to enter the way I did last time, which I'm thankful for. I'd rather not fall in darkness for an indeterminate amount of time again.
That's good, said Will. I'll take anything to help us at this point.
Nico shifted next to him.
Are you still sure you want to do this?
We're at a point where you could turn back.
Absolutely not,
said Will. At this point, it was more of a stubborn, involuntarily reflex than a conscious thought. Nico studied him.
I can't tell how you're really feeling. I know you want to help, but you've seemed a little different since we got here.
I'm scared, admitted Will. I don't know what's coming, and...
He faltered, remembering Marin's nightmarish voice.
He will leave you.
And I don't like that I can no longer feel the sun. I'm cut off from it for the first time in my life.
Nico reached over to Will's knapsack. He pulled out the sun globe, flicked it on, and tossed it over. Will couldn't help but smile. It was a cute gesture. And he always considered it a little victory when Nico did something adorable. He was also surprised at how quickly the globe worked. By the time they'd packed up to leave, Will's spirits were definitely improved. The light wasn't a substitute for the sun, but he was glad he'd brought it with him. He clicked it off and stowed it when Screech Bling and His Majesty arrived.
Demigods, Screech Bling said. Shall we begin?
Will glanced past the CEO and was surprised to see His Majesty wearing a foam cheese hat identical to his own. A warm feeling spread through Will. Almost as good as the sun globe.
You found a hat, he noted. I like it.
His Majesty was perhaps the most bashful troglodyte Will had ever seen. They blinked a few times, then ducked behind Screech Bling.
It is a good hat,
His Majesty mumbled.
A hero's hat.
Screech Bling grinned.
You have made an impression, son of Apollo. And do not worry about His Majesty. They are brave when they need to be.
Well, so am I, said Will. You can't judge a book by its cover.
He caught Nico scowling at him.
What?
He mouthed. Nico merely shook his head. Will sighed. Sometimes it was hard to tell what Nico was feeling, too. Screech Bling adjusted his hot pink rucksack across his shoulder,
which clashed magnificently with his George Washington outfit. Today, we venture through the southern tunnels. We will bring you to the shortcut swiftly, so you may rescue Bob the Titan from the clutches of Nyx, goddess of night.
Will wasn't sure his life could get any weirder, but then Screech Bling paraded them through Troglodyte headquarters, much to the delight of the shareholders. The appreciative onlookers clicked and clacked, which sounded like applause if all the clapping hands were made of dominoes. Like an underworld-styled graduation, many of the troglodytes tossed their hats into the air, then immediately started fighting over the ones they liked best. Even when the expedition had left HQ for the wider caverns of the underworld, Will could still hear the joyful chaos of the crowd echoing behind them.
The troglodytes are special, aren't they? He said to Nico. He finally got a smile out of his boyfriend.
Very much so, Nico said, as they followed the path along the roaring River Styx, with dark clouds hanging over the walls of Erebos and distance. Will kind of missed the crowd.
Screech Bling led the way, and His Majesty brought up the rear. Not long after veering away from the Styx, the troglodyte CEO brought Will and Nico to a sizable hole in the ground, partially covered with large rocks. He and His Majesty moved the rocks out of the way quickly, which was another reminder for Will of how fast and strong the Trogs were for their size.
We move deeper underground, Screech Bling said. Do you require a source of light?
Nico looked to Will with an eyebrow raised.
Maybe, Will said. How dark is it?
There is no light below, said Screech Bling.
Will tried to imagine what no light meant for a troglodyte, since pitch black was their sunny afternoon.
Nothing to worry about.
He swung his knapsack around and fished out the sun globe. When he switched it on, His Majesty gasped.
Does the child of Apollo carry the sun with him everywhere?
Will laughed. It's artificial, he said, handing it to them, powered by batteries.
I don't know what batteries are, said His Majesty, holding the globe in their hands as if it would burn them at any second. Surely this is some type of demigod magic, yes?
Sure, said Will. And now you may wield it. His Majesty looked like a kid in a candy store.
Allow me to lead the way, Screech Bling. I shall provide light for our companions like a child of Apollo.
Screech Bling nodded and let His Majesty go first.
Thank you, he said to Will. It is important that His Majesty feels they can contribute in meaningful ways.
Of course, said Will. He glanced over at Nico, who had a strange, wistful look on his face.
What?
It's just nice seeing you give that responsibility to His Majesty. Will shrugged.
They're just trying to help, he said.
None of the troglodytes have to, so it's the least I can do. Nico still had the same look on his face. Will squinted at his boyfriend.
I don't know what that expression means, so I'm just going to ignore it.
Let's get going. Will faced the tunnel entrance and took a deep breath, his nerves tingling. Then he ducked down and crawled into the hole. Despite the fact that His Majesty was just in front of him, the darkness and closeness of the tunnel made Will's heart race. This reminded him too much of their descent from the door of Orpheus. Except here, the ground felt softer and warmer beneath his feet, which made him think about Nico's story of the living landscape in Tartarus. The Trogs had no trouble walking upright in the tunnel, but Nico and Will had to crouch and even crawl in some places. It wasn't long before Will wished that he was holding the sun therapy globe. His Majesty kept getting farther in front of the group, and Screech Bling had to remind them multiple times that humans could not move as fast as troglodytes.
Yes, I will go slower, they said. I am sorry, son of Apollo and son of Hades.
It's okay, said Will. You're just excited.
So they pressed on. Nico had been silent since they'd entered the tunnel, and Will wondered if he was starting to freak out a little bit too. Or did he naturally adapt to places like this? Did he not feel like the earth was pressing down on top of him? The tunnel twisted often, and Will couldn't escape the sensation that they were crawling down the esophagus of some massive creature. He was so disoriented. He wasn't sure what direction they were even heading, aside from down. Always down. He slowed, and Nico bumped into the back of him.
You okay?
asked Nico. Will bent over and put his hands on his knees, his breathing labored.
I need a moment.
Screech Bling clicked his tongue a few times, and His Majesty came running back.
Yes?
Nico held out his hand, and His Majesty reluctantly dropped the glowing orb into it. Nico knelt in front of Will.
Take this for now, he said.
The Trogs don't actually need it to lead the way, and it'll make you feel better.
I just wish we didn't have to be underground, Will said. It's so dark.
He knew that sounded silly. Of course they were underground. This was the underworld. Still, he felt like a little boy again, trembling under the protection of Marin's umbrella.
We don't have many options, Nico said. It would be faster to go overground across Erebos, but,
well, you know, my father. Will clutched the globe under his left arm while he used his right hand to rub his eyes. There was a slight pressure building behind them. His thoughts felt hazy.
What about your father?
Screech Bling and Nico traded a worried glance.
You remember, Nico said. We don't want my father to know we're traipsing around down here, or that we're heading to Tartarus.
Right, Will said, wondering why the tunnel seemed to be swaying beneath him.
Because he'll stop us.
We do not cross Hades, said Screech Bling. We like our new home, and we would like to keep it, so we must take the hidden paths.
Okay, Will stood with difficulty, his mind still foggy. Then let's keep going, but you said this way is longer? I thought it was a shortcut.
No, said Nico, a hint of impatience in his voice. I said the troglodytes found a shortcut into Tartarus. We're heading there now? An unfamiliar feeling was bubbling up inside Will. Why was Nico irritating him so much? He clutched the globe tighter.
Sorry, he said. I think I'm still tired, that's all.
It should not be much longer, Will Solace, said Screech Bling. I shall lead the way.
He moved to the front with His Majesty. After Will took a few deep breaths, he followed the troglodytes.
Just let me know whenever you need a break, said Nico.
Don't feel bad about it. I want to reach Tartarus with you, okay?
Yeah.
Will tried to untense the muscles in his shoulders. He had no reason to feel irritated. Nico was just trying to help.
Tartarus, together.
As they continued, Will's mind drifted in the darkness. What would Tartarus be like? He had nothing to help him imagine it except for Nico's descriptions from the day before.
The day before. Will wasn't even sure if it was a new day.
Will tried to cope with that thought.
Gods, he'd always relied on the rising sun to introduce him to a new day, but he wouldn't have that down here.
For all he knew, it had been 1 hour in the mortal world since they'd entered the door of Orpheus.
Or maybe a month had passed. He missed a lot of things. Not just the sun. He missed campfires, too. Being under an open night sky, eating s'mores, and singing with his friends at Camp Half-Blood. Right then, a melody came to him, and he started humming, low at first. And then he increased the volume until his voice echoed through the tunnel. To his surprise, the tunnel actually seemed to get lighter. Or were his eyes just adjusting? He could see the tiny grooves in the rocks where the Trogs had used their hands, or some sort of digging tools to excavate the passage. Will picked up his pace, a sudden burst of energy filling him. What is that tune? Nico asked softly. Something my mom wrote a long time ago, Will said. I only realized recently that it was probably about my dad. The crowds would go absolutely bonkers for that song. It was about love as a brightness of the spirit.
He started the melody again, but Nico grabbed his arm.
Will, he said, do you realize you're shining?
Will looked down at his own hands. Sure enough, his skin was illuminated, casting a warm glow.
Wow, he said. That wasn't on purpose.
Should you maybe stop? Asked Nico.
Is it draining you?
At that, Will's skin slowly dimmed until the only light came from the sun globe.
Probably a good idea, he agreed, though he wasn't sure.
The music seemed to be helping him. Will wanted to hum the melody again, but Nico was right. He had to conserve his energy. And if he glowed himself to death before they even reached Tartarus, that would be bad. On the other hand, the darkness. Gods, it felt like it was getting worse. And was the tunnel shrinking too? Was it trying to close in on them? Focus, Will, he told himself. Keep moving. He was sweating profusely by the time he saw the end of the tunnel, a ragged circle of dull, reddish light maybe 50 yards ahead. Screechbling, is that it? Will asked. Are we close?
We are, the Trog said. But once we emerge from the passage, there will be one more obstacle to deal with. Stay close, and you'd better turn off your magical orb, Will Solace.
Will obeyed, then stowed the globe. Nico kissed the back of his neck. I'm proud of you, he whispered. I know this is hard. A warmth spread across Will's cheeks. He wasn't sure he was doing a good job. He felt guilty for being irritated with Nico earlier, but Nico's little gesture of affection made him want to try harder. He clasped Nico's hand in his, and the two of them headed into the reddish unknown.
Chapter 21. Nico was worried. When they emerged into the arid, smoky air of the underworld, Will came to a stop, his hands on his hips, his breathing uneven. Will looked, well, it felt strange thinking that Will was paler than usual. Nico usually cornered the market on having a ghostly paler, but Will had lost some of his color. Was this what he looked like without exposure to sunlight? It wasn't just that detail, though. Will had been a little loopy and forgetful in the tunnel, and Nico believed that what everyone had been concerned about was starting to happen. Deep in the underworld, a child of Apollo would be affected more than anyone else, and they hadn't even made it to Tartarus yet. Take a moment to catch your breath, Nico told him. Will rubbed at his eyes, as if willing them to adjust faster to the light. I'm glad to be out of that tunnel, he said. Where to next? Nico pushed down his fears because there was nothing he could do about them at the moment except care for Will. Even that role reversal was starting to grate on him, mostly because he wasn't used to it. Will always ran around camp, or any battlefield, really, doing whatever he could to assist those in need. Now, though, Nico had to step up and assist Will, and it was a lot harder than he'd expected. That didn't stop him from trying, though. First, sit and rest, he said. I want you to drink a little nectar. Will didn't argue. He plopped down on a boulder and lay back before partaking of the nectar Nico offered him. Guess I'm more tired than I thought, he said.
It was a long journey, said Screech Bling,
but Nico could tell the Trog was also concerned about Will.
We will give you some time, he continued. Come, His Majesty, we shall hunt for lizards.
The troglodytes darted off in an impossible blur, leaving Nico and Will alone on a low ridge overlooking the broken hills of Erebos. They had somehow navigated under the Styx and across the borders of the Land of the Dead, coming up deep inside Hades' territory, in an area Nico was pretty sure he'd never visited.
What is it like? Will asked.
Nico followed his gaze to Hades' shadowy palace, its obsidian fortifications still dominating the landscape even at this distance. Above the turrets, dark shapes swirled, perhaps the Furies or skeletal Pegasi from Hades' stables. Nico felt a pang of longing. He was so close to his underworld home, to safety and comfort, but it was the one place he couldn't go right now. Father modeled his palace after Olympus, he said, his hand on Will's shoulder. He felt so left out by the other gods, he basically made a mirror image of their headquarters. It's very different, though. I don't know if this will make sense, but it's less pretentious. Will tilted his head.
I'm not sure I get that, but I like the idea of it.
I think it's because it's just for him, so there's this genuineness to everything. He may have copied Olympus, but he put his own spin on it. Will gazed at the distant towers.
But you didn't spend much time there growing up, did you?
I'm not sure I could.
No, Nico thought. You couldn't. Bianca and I traveled all over with our mother. Hades visited us, though, so no, I didn't grow up in his palace, but he was in my life.
Wow, said Will.
I didn't even know about my heritage until I was 10, and I didn't meet Apollo for years after that.
He didn't reveal himself after you got attacked by pigeons?
Will scowled.
They were Stymphalian birds, which looked exactly like pigeons.
Anyway, continued Will, maybe if we get through this quest, when we get through this quest, he took a deep breath.
We should visit your father's palace sometime?
Nico raised an eyebrow. Are you joking?
No, why would I be? I think maybe it's time.
A smile grew on Nico's face. He recalled the relief he'd felt when Will had been kind to His Majesty before entering the tunnel. Will was making an effort, wasn't he?
I suppose it's only fair, said Nico, after I spent all that time hanging out with your dad.
To be actually fair, my dad was a teenager at the time, so I don't know how much that counts.
Nico hesitated.
But do you really want to meet mine?
Will looked up at him.
Of course. He's important to you, so he's important to me.
In moments like this, the harder parts of being in a relationship with a child of Apollo were easy to forget. Will was so quick to be kind. There wasn't an insincere bone in his body. So Nico sat on the ground in front of Will and leaned against him, comforted by his presence and loyalty and warmth.
Okay then, Nico said. Next time we'll visit my father.
The son of Apollo wishes to meet Hades? Said Screech Bling, startling both Nico and Will. The CEO and His Majesty had rematerialized as quickly as they'd vanished, each now clutching fistfuls of dead lizards. Nico had no idea where they'd found them. Screech Bling tossed one in the air, then caught it in his mouth, swallowing with gusto.
This is fascinating to me, he continued. We troglodytes are not afraid of Hades, of course. Glick, we are brave and fierce, but we prefer to be brave and fierce from a distance, finished His Majesty.
The two trogs sat next to Nico and Will and gazed at Hades' palace while they finished their meal. It was nice, actually. A nice moment in the underworld. Even Will seemed to relax, though he turned down His Majesty's offer to share their dead lizards. Finally, His Majesty straightened their foam cheese hat, making sure it was sitting at the same angle as Will's.
I think we should continue, they said. If you're ready, we just have to make it past one more obstacle before we reach the shortcut to Tartarus.
One more obstacle? Will squared his shoulders. Well, I can do one more. What is it exactly?
The farm, said Screech Bling. We have to make it through the farm.
He said the word farm, as it were a new form of torture in the fields of punishment. People farm here? Said Will.
How? There's no sunlight.
And just like that, Nico's creeping dread reappeared. It was two-pronged. First, he was annoyed that, once again, Will couldn't seem to imagine life in the underworld. Second, a memory started to surface from the depths of Nico's mind. A vague recollection of something Hades had told him about a farm. During the same trip, when Nico had found Hazel Levesque, his half-sister, wandering the fields of Asphodel. What had Hades warned him about? Nico wished he could contact Hazel. She'd probably have the answer. She had a better memory. As Nico and Will followed the trogs, he thought about how much he missed Hazel. He was learning to make peace with that feeling. It was okay for him to miss people, because that meant he wanted them around in his life. That idea was very new for him. He was used to either pushing people away or watching them recoil from his presence. There was a time when he'd even tried to push Will away. Where would he be now if he'd actually followed through with that? Screech Bling led the way, following a ravine that snaked between granite hills like a dry riverbed. Nico quickly lost all frame of reference.
He knew his father's palace was to the north, beyond the fields of Asphodel, but this landscape looked totally unfamiliar. No spirits drifted across these hills. No wails of the damned filled the air, just the crunch of their feet on the gravel. The only illumination came from patches of blue lichen on the hillsides, which made Nico feel like he was walking through a crime scene being inspected under UV light for blood splatters. Ugh. He'd been listening to too many of Will's beloved true crime podcasts. Another thing Nico didn't understand about his sunny-natured boyfriend. Will shuffled along behind him, his pace slower than before. He was humming again, and the melody floated over to Nico, wrapping itself around him, almost as if Will were sending out his energy as a way to stay connected, even while they were just a few feet apart. Though Nico wanted Will to preserve his energy, he was perfectly fine with the comforting sensation of the music. He guessed he would just have to monitor Will for excessive glowing. At last, they crested the ridge of a hill. Below, a sprawling patchwork of fields and orchards stretched to the horizon, and then the whole farm thing started to make sense. Rows of towering gray trees bristled with scarlet flowers. Ghostly farmhands wove through the orchards, some hammering syrup taps into the trunks while others carried buckets on yokes across their shoulders. In the pastures, herds of jet-black cattle grazed on yellow grass. Cows, Will grumbled. Those aren't related to Tori Sylvestris, are they? Before Nico could answer, he was distracted by movement in the nearest orchard. From the shadows of the trees, an enormous humanoid creature emerged. Nico's heart sank. Now, too late, he realized where they were and who they were facing. The creature had the head of a red Angus bull, the shirtless torso of a muscular man with crimson skin, and black leather pants over dark work boots. Minotaur! Will yelped, assuming a defensive stance. Should we run? That's not the Minotaur, said Nico. And no, we should not run. The bull man sprinted up the hill, charging straight toward them. You sure about that? Will asked.
He will not attack you, Screech Bling promised cheerfully. It is much worse than that.
Nico sighed. He's a demon, Will, and he doesn't want to fight us. He wants... The bull man skidded to a stop right in front of them, panting heavily.
Oh, good, he bellowed, his voice so deep it rattled Nico's teeth. I am so glad I spotted you, because you are not going anywhere.
I want to make it clear that I didn't actually know what I was doing, said Nico. Like, we have to establish that. Gregira tilted her head.
There is no judgment here.
I was mostly saying that to Will, because he loves teasing me about this.
Only every once in a while, said Will.
Then he raised his hand to the side of his mouth and stage whispered to Gorgira,
I do it all the time.
Look, said Nico, you know what Camp Half-Blood really needs to be teaching us? Gorgira shook her head. We need courses on human emotions, said Nico. Classes on how to come out, how to talk about feelings, how to ask a cute boy on a date. You did just fine, said Will.
Well, I definitely didn't intend to come out and ask you on a date in front of the whole camp.
Will started laughing, but it quickly turned to a deep, shaking cough. Nico put his arm around his boyfriend's waist. Will held up a hand.
I'm fine.
No, you're not. Nico frowned at Gorgira.
He's getting worse. We need that boat now. We've wasted too much time.
The lines tightened around Gorgira's eyes.
Stories are never a waste of time, son of Hades. We are all of us made of stories.
Just keep going, Will said, waving his hand. Nico sat back down with a grunt.
Anyway, he said, looking back to Gorgira.
I was terrified to tell Will the truth. Every time I was around him, I thought I was going to burst into flames. Will wiped his forehead.
He had me fooled. I thought I was the one who was obviously a mess.
Nico shook his head. Not at all. Even though I sensed there was something there, it was still frightening to think about. I don't know. Declaring it, and not knowing how anyone, not just Will, would react.
Not that Camp Half-Blood is full of bigots or anything, Will said, leaning toward Gorgeera. It's just that, well, in our world, you learn to tread carefully. You never know if someone's feelings will change toward you once you tell them who you really are.
Nico let the silence grow before he spoke.
It happened to me once a long time ago, he said. All because of a harmless thing I said about my mytho-magic cards.
Wait, really? Will asked.
You never told me this.
One side of Nico's lip curled up.
Well, I have to start sharing sometime, right? I can't keep my whole past a mystery from you.
Nico, you don't... He raised a hand. I actually want to tell you. Will scooted closer.
Okay.
It was right after we'd moved to the States from Italy, Nico said. We were living in Washington, D.C., and I had a deck of mytho-magic cards with me at school.
You had mytho-magic cards back in the 1940s?
Nico sighed.
Yes, well, we didn't have cell phones or the internet, but we did have mytho-magic cards.
Wow, Grandpa.
Shut up.
Will chuckled, snuggling closer.
Anyway, Nico continued. Thinking about it now, I don't even know that I recognize my own feelings about being gay. It just happened.
But I was playing with this kid, Henry Whitaker, and I made a comment about how pretty Aries looked on his card.
Aries?
Will raised an eyebrow.
Really?
Nico rolled his eyes.
I was like 8 years old, Will. At least I had the foresight to find Hermes attractive.
Hermes? Are you kidding me? Who goes for Hermes?
I do,
said Will. Wow, you really do like underdogs, muttered Nico.
Boys,
said Gorgeera, bowing her head toward them in a slight admonishment.
Sorry,
said Nico. But then he shook his head at Will.
Hermes.
I thought this was a safe space, Will said, smiling. Nico was glad to see Will smile, but his heart still fluttered with nerves.
So once I said that about Aries, Henry looked at me funny. He told me I was weird. He didn't call me names or anything, but he never hung out with me again. I got the message loud and clear.
Don't do that. Don't feel that. Don't even think that.
Wow, said Will. I had no idea.
Nico let out his tension in a long breath. Anytime someone suspected that Nico wasn't straight or every time he shared too much about himself, he felt like this. Like a ticking bomb or a draft of air that teased at a fire. But with Will, he was safe. Will wouldn't turn on him or abandon him or start saying nasty things behind his back. Thinking about that, Nico made a connection. For the first time, he realized something about a part of himself, and instead of stamping it out, instead of shoving it down into the darkness to fester, he shared it.
That's why I had such a negative reaction to Cupid, he said.
He gave Gorgeera a brief summary of what had happened a couple of years earlier, how Cupid had forced Nico to come out as some twisted form of honesty.
I was terrified that Jason was going to leave me there in Croatia, he said. I completely believed it, too.
Why wouldn't he? In that moment, I think Jason knew more about me than any other person on Earth.
But he stayed, said Will softly.
He stayed, and so did the rest of us.
Yes, he said. But that experience still hurts. I know it would have been a while before I felt comfortable enough to come out to Jason, but it still should have been left up to me. It should have been my choice.
It is unfair when we are coerced to reveal ourselves, said Gorgeera. This is why it is important that whatever souls share with me is freely given.
Consent, said Will, nodding. It helps people feel safe. Gorgeera tipped her head to the side.
Nico, I wonder, why are you telling me all this? You do not know me at all, and you are corporeal. You are not a lonely soul in the Acheron.
Well, I figured you could be trusted, Nico said after some thought.
I mean, most gods and immortal creatures aren't homophobic. How can they be after being alive for so long?
Like my dad,
said Will. He's fallen in love with people of all genders.
Exactly, said Nico.
Plus, you're all the way down here, Grajeera. Homophobia in the land of the dead, he scoffed. It just seems silly to judge a person's sexuality when they're dead. Gorgira's face glowed with satisfaction. Her dress flowed and whispered like voices calling out. What were they saying? What were they asking of Nico? He thought he knew. I finally got to make the choice myself, he said. I mean, it came about because of a misunderstanding, but still, I chose. Will squeezed his hand.
The date.
Nico looked at Gorgira. I asked the satyrs and nymphs at Camp Half-Blood to set up a picnic for me and Will. I thought that's how you were supposed to do it. That's how it is in the movies. You make these intimate romantic gestures and everything goes as planned.
And then the satyrs accidentally orchestrated a camp-wide coming-out party for Nico, finished Will.
Nico groaned.
Gorgira, I thought they were going to set up the food in some out-of-the-way grove in the woods, so imagine my surprise when I pass the dining pavilion on a regular Thursday afternoon and there are flower wreaths hanging everywhere, picnic baskets at every table. The nymphs are dressed up in their finest greenery, and Juniper greets me with a crown of holly.
You look so cute in that, said Will. And then they sat me at the head table, and I still didn't get what was going on. I worried I was going to be late to my picnic with Will.
Nico glanced over and was surprised to find his boyfriend glowing again. Not as brightly as before. More of a soft aurora flickering over his body. Nico worried that Will might be wasting precious energy, but Will's skin no longer looked waxy. His face was no longer sickly and pale. So Nico kept talking. When all the campers had gathered, Juniper announced that it was a special day. I had an announcement to make. Mind you, I was terrified. I had finally realized what they'd done, and even though it was an honest mistake, I was still upset. This wasn't what I'd wanted.
But you went through with it, said Gorgira. Why? What changed?
Nico was quiet for a moment. I decided I could own it, he said. Do it my way. I could not only tell Will that I was gay and that I liked him, but I could tell everyone. If I was going to stay at Camp Half-Blood, I needed to know that I could be myself there, that I didn't have to hide in the shadows all the time.
You do like the shadows, though, joked Will.
Nico nudged him with his shoulder. Shush, this is my coming out story, Will.
I mean, it's technically mine, too.
That's true. Nico smiled at the memory. Some of your cabin mates were very shocked by the revelation.
Not Kayla or Austin, though. They were thrilled, but they'd both noticed me staring at you multiple times. What was it like, Nico?
The question from Gorgira caught him off guard. What was what like?
The moment, revealing your truth.
He gazed back at Will, into his warm blue eyes.
Terrifying, he said.
The whole dining pavilion went silent. And I remember standing up and clearing my throat. And then I didn't say anything for like half a minute. And then it was like a dam had broken. I just talked. Will nodded. I remember you being kind of defensive at first, he said, telling us all that you knew everyone talked about you, that you knew you hadn't been around all that much. It was like you were anticipating every possible argument or criticism. Nico's eyes welled with tears.
But none of those worst-case scenarios happened. Instead, I told the whole camp I was gay, that I was sick of hiding the truth, that I liked Will Solace and wanted to go on a date with him. And there were no meteor showers or explosions. No mass exodus from Camp Half-Blood.
He turned to Will.
Do you remember what you said, Nightlight?
Will rolled his eyes.
I do, Death Boy. I told you that you didn't have to throw a party. I would have said yes if you'd just asked me.
Again, I did not throw a party on purpose.
But I didn't know that at the time, said Will. I was so impressed. You didn't seem like the party type. You'd gone through all that just to tell me you liked me?
It helped, Nico.
Helped what?
helped make it easier for me, he said, to be able to say who I am. Me agreeing to go on a date with you wasn't just me saying I thought you were cute, which is very true.
You gross, said Nico,
but he couldn't suppress his smile. It was my chance to stop hiding as well. Will's glowing skin brightened. Do you know how many others have felt comfortable coming into their own because of you, Nico? What? What are you talking about?
Paolo, Malcolm Pace, Jake Mason.
And it's not just in Camp Half-Blood. Piper is just as thankful for you as the others. None of them would have been able to be out if you hadn't gone first. Heat rose in Nico's cheeks. He had never thought of it that way. He'd just been trying to be himself.
We often don't see the effects we have on others, said Gorgira. In the moment, all that matters is ourselves. But you, Nico D'Angelo, do you not see what you are surrounded by?
The whispers rose again, and this time Nico sensed a desperation in them.
No, that wasn't right. It was envy.
Come, she said, rising from her rocky seat. I have promised you a boat, and you have given me more than enough stories.
Nico helped Will stand, and his boyfriend swayed a bit before steadying himself against Nico. Gorgira's silver eyes seemed sad. Did she not want them to go? Nico imagined that this had to be hard for her, knowing her nature, and a burst of pity hit him. He glanced over at Will, who had stopped glowing. Even so, he definitely looked better than he had before they'd begun telling stories. Nico examined the gauze on Will's leg. The bleeding seemed to have stopped. Nico didn't quite understand it, but the stories had somehow accelerated Will's healing. They walked toward the river, Will limping. Before they reached the shore, Will stumbled. Nico sat him down on at the edge of the dock. Maybe another story would help.
Hey,
he put his face close to Will's.
Do you remember the first time you kissed me?